This whole program began with crisis services actually teaching police officers for jail diversion and hospital diversion from ECMC, CPEP, and getting them linked with services that they need before they get into the legal system. Studies show that if you could get people with a mental illness away from or out of the legal system at the earliest points, you have a higher percentage rate where they will not reenter the system. So this training actually started with training police officers on the street. So that's where I began. I went to their training, and then now I assist training those police officers. There are many agencies involved in that throughout Erie County. It started with Cheektowaga, Lieutenant Brian Gould, and now it has grown. There are Erie County Sheriff Road officers that have also gone through this training. The training that it's given on the streets is different from the jail. What happened was I was in charge of actually overseeing our inmates with special needs. And while doing this, we realized that there was a missing piece, and that was what happens when they go in to the jail and come back out. Part of the problem is we are the first to start creating some of this. There is nobody else to call for the CIT training that we are doing within the holding center and the correctional facility. We have to figure that out as we go, because there's not many places that are experiencing it at the volume that we are. So this training was actually tailored to the jail and taken from stuff that was done on the road. It was a pilot thing that Crisis Service worked with us on doing. Our forensic department follows roughly 400 inmates between the two facilities.
Put that in practical terms for me, please. If you could give me maybe an example of a situation, what's the process?
When an individual gets arrested and they get remanded to the custody of the Erie County Sheriff's Office, they go through a screening, and they're booked into our system. They're then seen by medical. Once they're seen by medical, there's also a forensic portion that they do to see if they need to see forensic mental health. If they're flagged to see forensic mental health, those inmates then are interviewed and given an extensive interview to determine what services they'll require while they are in our facilities, such as just being followed on a regular basis, for an adjustment period to see if they need medication. One of the problems we run into is this information that we get most of the time comes from the individual that was arrested and brought to our facility. So they may not want to be tagged as someone with a forensic mental illness, so they may not give us the information. And when that happens, they go into the jail populace, and it's up to the officers to identify that there may be something wrong with an individual where I have to contact my sergeant to contact forensic mental health to see what's going on there. Or we may have an inmate that goes through the process and may not want to take his meds anymore because of the side effects, and he'll stop taking them. And the officers that work that area have to look for signs that, you know, this inmate is not following his regimen or something is wrong, where we need to have our mental health department step in, interview them, and see what other treatments they could provide for this individual to make sure that they are safe at all times.
So some training was done last year, and there were about 30 or 40 deputies that went through that. Were those mostly the special needs guys like yourself?
What we did is we took a portion from each area that would be along the process. So we had supervisors that oversee our intake of the inmates, supervisors that work our mental health housing units, and then we took deputies from each of those areas. On top of that, we also had supervisors from out at the Alden Correctional Facility and COs that work out there come in to do the training. So that way, if anybody that, like I said, navigated through the system and didn't want to be honest about their past medical or mental health needs went out to the correctional facility, the correction officers out there could identify them to have them seen by the forensic staff out there to determine if they need to come back to the Erie County Holding Center, if they could be followed and managed out there. So we took people from all parts of the process to make sure that we weren't missing anywhere. And the idea is to keep expanding that throughout the facility as we could coordinate training with crisis services.
Can you put it in practical terms for me, please? Also, you know, the kinds of things that are done to de-escalate a situation.
When they are in crisis, you know, it could be something as small as every Wednesday they get a visitor, and this particular Wednesday, it could be a snowstorm in Buffalo, and it's not as easy to just explain that. You have to listen, really listen to them. You have to already establish a rapport with, if you're working in those areas, I mean, you need to know what sets off that inmate to maybe have a bad day, what brings them back down, just sitting and taking the time to talk to them. Most of it's just listening to them, letting them get out what is wrong, and then determining if they need to sit down and talk to a forensic counselor. One of the great things that we have is that option inside the holding center and the correctional facility to bring in a forensic counselor to sit down and really talk to them if that's the need, or if it could just be handled by that deputy work in that area or that sergeant that's in charge to sit down and talk and figure out a way for them to get in touch with the family member if that's what you need to do. A lot of times they do just want to vent and get something off their chest, and you got to realize that, you know, there is a special need there, and you have to be patient, and you have to take your time, and you have to learn to understand what they're going through on a daily basis.
Of course, there are other situations that are more volatile. How would the techniques change in that kind of a situation where it may be life and death kind of situation for either the inmate or the deputy?
Well, in any kind of correctional setting, there's always risk of self-harm or harm to others. That's where following the inmate, getting to know the inmate to see how they progress to try to intervene before you get to those spots. I mean, you know, there are times where an inmate may have to be handcuffed to prevent injury to himself or others and taken down to see forensics, or they may have to come cell side if they can't be moved. It's a joint effort between coordinating with medical, forensic mental health, and the security staff to determine what needs to be done. And that's what's great about working with crisis services is they're giving us these additional tools. They're teaching us how to watch for signs and symptoms that someone may be escalating.
The community's had a lot of concerns. What could you say to them to reassure them of how inmates with mental illness are treated in the holding center?
Treating inmates with a mental illness is a priority in the jail. I don't think, you know, no jails were really ready for the influx of mentally ill inmates that have come through the system. We've created a special residential treatment unit within the jail where we identify inmates that have special needs. They're housed in a special area where they get group counseling. They also see individual counseling, and then there's testing done by interns from the University of Buffalo. We are one of the first jails that have created a residential treatment unit. We also do community meetings with our inmates that are housed in our mental health and medical areas where we teach them, you know, just the importance of everyday living. I mean, these are things that we do to try to enhance their ability to live not only within the facility, but to make sure that when they are leaving, that we are getting them the services on the outside. We have discharge planners, so when they get out, they know where to go, who to contact, so that they can continue get the counseling that they need. We got a special unit for detoxers. We have special units for those with mental health needs. We have a veterans dorm to navigate the veterans through the system. Other facilities and counties now are looking at what we're doing. Niagara County has just reached out to crisis services to explore the training that we are doing and the services that we are providing within our facility.
How has this changed being a law enforcement officer? You've got a lot on your shoulders. You're wearing a lot of hats.
You know, it's an ever-changing world out there right now, you know. The law enforcement that is out on the road, they're the first responders now for dealing with the mentally ill. And again, none of them were trained and ready for that. Within our facility, we're exploring how to better handle inmates with mental illness. And then on top of that, the opiate epidemic that has hit Erie County, nobody was ready for that either. It kind of came heavy at us. I think people realize that throughout Erie County and all the communities, everybody is trying to find a way to make things better for those that have special needs. there is no quick solution to it. We're not going to wake up one day and have all the answers. You know, the old motto from police officers used to be they used to try to arrest their way out of it by getting all the drug dealers. Now the new way is let's get all the people that are addicted, let's get them help and treatment and take away the demand. So, I mean, it's an ever-changing world, and it's the ideas got to change with these times.